Hello, I am Mark Bassingthwaite. I'm the risk manager here at ALPS, and welcome to another episode of ALPS in Brief, the podcast that comes to you from the historic Florence Building in beautiful downtown Missoula, Montana. For those of you that aren't familiar with me, I've been practicing at ALPS as serving the role of risk manager for over 26 years, and recently. It's been about 2.5, maybe three, coming up on, well, 2.5 years. Like, I gotta think through this. I have been blessed to be able to have my wife and I move to Florida. So I'm coming to you from our remote location here in St. Cloud, Florida. A beautiful day. I want to continue with some conversations that I've had over the years. And this sort of fits in the category of listening to your life, focusing on some growth issues. And really the purpose of this particular podcast is to talk about how to build and perhaps even more importantly, how to maintain a successful law practice. There's a lot written out there on the importance of, marketing, networking. I've lectured and written on a lot of this myself, and I really don't want to dismiss that. That's very important in terms of building a practice, as is understanding the marketplace. Having all the correct tools. There's lots of things, if you will, sort of on the business side. That need to be addressed and are very important. But the older I get, I continue to discover and appreciate the value of something else. And it really is what I would describe as the foundation. And foundations in relationships, as an example, and in many aspects of our lives, I've come to learn is so important, whether it's a foundation to become a foundation for your children as they grow, to have a foundation built on commitment in personal relationships, particularly in the context of a marriage. It's just something that I have found to be very, very relevant. So I'm going to talk about the foundation necessary to build and maintain a successful law practice. And really, what I'm talking about is wellness. And I have written and talked for years about how impairment issues are significant in terms of their role in malpractice claims and grievances and all that. But I'm coming at it from a different angle. And I really do believe that a foundation in the practice of law, a personal foundation based on wellness is absolutely essential and fundamental to the long-term success of a successful law practice. Now I'm going to be, as we talk today, sharing a little bit about myself, and I'm not here to suggest in any way, shape, or form that I've got it all figured out. I absolutely don't. But I do want to say, I'm on a journey, and it is a wellness journey. I have yet to find the endpoint, if you will. I remain a work in process, and I that's going to be true for me for the rest of my life, because life is a journey, and I guess at some point the journey will come to an end, and perhaps in some way that's an end point, depending on what you believe. But while we're here, in a physical body in this wonderful place we call Earth, for all of us, it's a journey. And so I encourage you to consider that, and let's talk about what is important in terms of wellness as we go through this journey. In my mind, wellness, this is far more than just about health, okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit about health, but it really is about all aspects of one's life. We need to have wellness in our personal lives, in our professional lives, in our spiritual lives. It just goes on and on. So, and again, to the degree that we struggle individually with any aspect of wellness in any aspect of our life, that can create some problems. Again, how do you think impairments arise? If we're not taking care of ourselves, we can get overwhelmed. We can get burned out. We can get depressed. We can turn to alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to rehash all that. All I'll say is, to really stay strong, to stay focused, wellness matters. Let me ask some questions just to kind of set this up. Are you happy in your life? In terms of generally happy, I have days where I'm not happy. Things can be kind of crazy. I've had a rough week, to be honest with you. A colleague recently passed very unexpectedly, and that's been difficult. It's been very difficult. I've gone through some health issues, nothing overly concerning, but some surgery that was necessary. And let's just say it was a little rougher than anticipated. There are normal stressors in life, things happen. But I would say generally, I have an overall sense of happiness, an overall sense of fulfillment, an overall sense of purpose. Is life stress-free? No. But even at times, even good things happening in life can be stressful. So it's about wellness. How do we handle the stress? How are we working through the issues? So, okay, that's kind of the broad stuff. Let's kind of dig in a little bit and talk about really what wellness means, if you will, in the practice of law, and talk about why it's important. I do. Let me knock it out there in terms of the first topic, again, because it's so significant. We do need to sort of set some boundaries, so I'm going to really talk about, how can we find and maintain wellness here. We do need to set boundaries. You hear these discussions all the time, and honestly, speaking personally, it's about maintaining balance, and I just drives me crazy. I fail to understand how, if we find some balance between two aspects of our lives, that solves anything. Because by even framing it that way, the assumption is that some aspect of your life is unhealthy. And if we bring sort of some other aspect of your life that is healthy into balance with this, somehow that fixes everything. No. All aspects of your life have to be happy and healthy. So, and typically when we're talking about balance between professional life and work life, there's this assumption that we're devoting too much time and things are out of balance and it's not healthy for us in terms of our professional life. So let's talk about, setting boundaries. And we could talk for a long time about all the different ways to do this. But what I really want to say to you, whether you're brand new in practice or been practicing for 50 years and still struggle with this, sometimes it's important to hear from a fellow lawyer, a fellow, someone that gets it with you. I mean, life can be crazy, both externally in terms of your personal life and professionally. It's okay to take care of yourself. Self-care, self-prioritization is not selfish. It's not saying, to your clientele, you don't matter to me. No, you need to work to have a life. I mean, that's really what we're doing here. So set some boundaries. If you work great in the morning, or some people are morning people, some people are afternoon people, whatever time of day is really good for you to knock some work out. Protect that. Don't have the phone ringing all the time. People, scheduling appointment. Have some quiet time and really prioritize that. Stick to it. And give the give staff the ability or the permission, if you will, to enforce the times that you set aside. And don't turn off notifications, don't check your email, et cetera, et cetera. I would schedule some breaks throughout each day in terms of the work day, primarily, even if it's just 10 minutes now and again to get outside and get a little sun, to get outside and just clear your mind. I have found that to be very effective. Sometimes I just need a mental break, and so I'll go out and just stroll a little bit, and that can provide clarity. I can problem solve at times doing this, because I give myself permission not to worry about it, and I give myself permission to just go and be calm. So set some boundaries on personal time. You don't need to be available 24/7. So unplug, turn this thing off, get off the matrix, and that's okay. It's not selfish. It's something you deserve, and it's how you stay professionally sharp. If you're never recharging your batteries, just to even have some time to de-stress and get the work done that needs to be done, or have time to just clear your head, it's all good. You have to have that, or the axe is going to get dull. So, another thing that I strongly encourage you to do is just invest in your physical health. Because again, boy, I could tell you some stories over the years with all the consulting I've done, and I have worked with more attorneys than I ever thought who had all kinds of health issues that were tremendously impacting their ability to competently, in a few situations, serve their clients. I literally had to go into one solo practice at one point and tell them, you're done practicing today. And I it was not a conversation I was looking forward to. But at the end of the day, I got to tell you, what the response was? Just one of relief. Finally, somebody gave him permission to say, it's okay, you're done. You can't, and it was able to acknowledge and finally just say to himself, okay, it didn't need to be that way. Get some exercise. It improves cognitive function. I mean, it really does. Eat reasonably well. All this fast food crap that's out there. I mean, we all know that, just shoving junk into your body, morning, noon, and night, day after day, is gonna not serve you well. You want to try to get a good night's sleep. And just rest. And again, that needs to be prioritized at times. Yes, there will be times, perhaps a hearing coming up or something where some of these things have to go by the wayside a little bit. And that's okay. But you got to get back into the routine. The long term, as you go through this journey of living and being an attorney and serving your clients, you still have to care for yourself. One of the things that I do, and if you've listened to some of my other podcasts, I enjoy tremendously going out and cycling. I do a lot of cycling. And that is just a place, again, where I can be calm and where I can just enjoy the moment. For whatever reason, it works for me. I love it. Even if it's indoors at times here, depending on the hour, time of day, and weather, I do a lot of riding indoors, and that's where I get some of my best riding in, believe it or not. I put in anywhere between 1,500 and 2,000 miles a year, and it is a great workout indoors, and I just love it. Playing tennis is another thing I've taken up, got back into after a number of years, but doing it here in Florida. We're very blessed to be near the USTA, United States Tennis Association, National Campus. And I'll be honest and say there are many times where I either have a tennis lesson over there or here at the local courts, some meeting with some friends and playing. I'll tell you honestly, there's a lot of times where I just don't want to go. It's been busy, been a crazy day, and I just, I've never missed though. I always just force myself to do it. And here's the crazy thing. Never once have I regretted going. And I've always had a blast every time. So invest in your physical health. It pays back in spades in terms of giving energy, staying mentally competent, still enjoying what you do. I mean, if you're out of shape, overworked, poor diet, poor rest, it's no wonder so many lawyers struggle in our profession with just not being happy and it's not working, and they're just going burnt because, again, they're not taking care of the physical health. Extremely, extremely important. That's the foundation. It honestly is. Prioritize mental and emotional well-being. I'm not a mindfulness guy, but I really, really need you to hear. The mindfulness movement has really helped so, so many people. Try it out. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, okay. Meditation. You just need to find ways to manage stress. And those are two excellent ways. I have to be honest and say I've tried them some. I will admit I've not really gone gung-ho on this, but I'll go back to cycling. For me, that's where I can find calmness. To me, I guess I'd say that's the way I meditate. And it's a very, I guess, non-traditional way, perhaps. I don't know. I'm not a guru in meditation, but it works for me. So find ways. I do need to say, if you feel that you are struggling in some ways with burnout, depression, anxiety is another thing that I have seen recently in a very dear and good friend that I'm concerned about, and I do try to visit and say, yeah, we gotta kind of address this. What can I do to help? But if you need, if you feel that there are some challenges there, I strongly support and encourage you trying to find some help. Whatever that might be, visiting with a colleague, perhaps a pastor, a social worker, a psychiatrist. Depending on the issue, the answer or solution to this is going to differ. But please don't ignore that; it's just not worth it. Sort of on a parallel or tangent here, please don't minimize the importance too of building, maintaining, and by that I mean nurturing your support systems. They're so important over the years, and boy, have I come to learn that too. Whether it's colleagues, friends, and family members, extended family members, your significant other, these are the people that are here for you, and can do wonderful things to help care for you, to be supportive of you, to be a cheerleader for you. Of course, the gift is a two-way street. You need to invest in them as well. But isn't that what the journey is all about? What's the point of going through a journey of life without anybody to validate the journey, to go with you, to share in the experience, and to also have you experience someone else's journey. Again, this is a two-way street. A lot more, and there's more than just one relationship there. Let's talk a little bit about the office too. It's important to create a positive work environment, whether that's a home office, which is where I'm sitting right now, or an office, brick and mortar law firm. But you do need to make it a positive kind of thing. I have created a calming space. You really can't see the whole thing here. Some of you can't listen to me over the years. I'm a Disney person. My wife and I have been members of the Disney Vacation Club for years and years and years, and literally have traveled a number of places around the world with Disney. Our kids were raised Disney. We have a lot of fun. I am in a Disney space. Again, that's calming to me. And it's full of pictures and all kinds of things that are memories. You can see some in the back. Let's see the side of the background here. There's a Disney cruise ship. There's a photo of myself when I was quite a bit younger, the daughter, but she was a lot younger, on my back, hiking in Glacier National Park. There are things that are very special and memorable. That's a calming, positive workspace for me. That's create a culture of respect and support among staff and colleagues at your firm, assuming you're not just a true solo. That's encourage open, honest communication, respectful. But we need to talk about, somebody's having a problem, or you're having a problem with somebody. I can't trust this individual to do things, and you don't want to delegate or something. We need to work through that. Unhealthy relationships, again, just left alone and unaddressed, really begin to impact the health and wellness of the workplace setting. So let's address that. I would encourage you to engage in continuous learning. And here's an interesting, yes, I'm talking about CLE, maintaining our competency, whether that's through webinars, but maybe networking and mentor kinds of stuff. It's very, very important to you can read up on journals and publications, and there's all kinds of things that you can do professionally, and I do that. I go to conferences, I present webinars, and there's a lot of learning that goes into being able to present a webinar or put together a CLE. And I obviously attend a lot of CLEs, and that helps keep me sharp. But I'd encourage you to go further. The mind needs to stay active, and the mind needs to be stimulated. I'll be honest and say at times, the ethics world, which is a lot of my world, and cybersecurity, those are very, very stimulating topics for me. And I love kind of working through hypos and reading things and having a lot of fun, and just like, oh, how do you solve this? But I'm also, I love physics. I love to cook. And so there are this aspect of continued learning, even learning to play tennis, but and trying to study the game. How do you position yourself, and what are the tactics on a doubles court, as an example? How to cook. I cook a variety of cuisines, Chinese, Mexican, Spanish. The list just goes on, and that again helps keep me sharp. So I think continuous learning is so, so important. So find the things that interest you, and again, that keep the desire to learn and to grow alive. That is going to bring out so much more in terms of even just who you are and how successful you can be in building and maintaining your law practice. Finally, I would say, give back. Give back. And there's all kinds of ways you can do this. Pro bono, is a great way. You can volunteer for legal aid organizations. You can mentor. There's a lot that you can do professionally. Even just get involved with state bar or local bar and present some CLEs now and again. But you can also just give back in so many other ways, whether that's getting involved with any local charity organizations, Boys and Girls of America, being working in a museum, working at a children's hospital. I just, the list just goes on and on and on. And I've done some of these things. I, over the years, was a volunteer at the National Cancer Institute. And I have worked at a children's orthopedic hospital years ago as a volunteer. Boy, was that crazy. I learned more from kids that were dying. I am not kidding you than I have ever learned in any other setting. The professional and personal growth with that experience, I will never, ever forget. So there's just a variety of things. But, you know, being able to give back, it feeds and nurtures the soul, if you will. I mean, that's my personal experience. And again, it helps me be the best person that I can be. And I'm always open to growing and learning, you know, because, again, that's the point of the journey. That's the point. You know, I guess I have one other thought too. I would encourage you to focus on spiritual as well. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, you got to go out and go to church so many times a month. You know, that's not what I'm getting to. But I do believe there's value in perhaps appreciating just that the gift that you've been given, the gift of having the opportunity to have a life's journey. And the older I get, I can appreciate, they always talk about this attitude of gratitude, but just acknowledging, you know, the time, you know, life's good. And I'm very thankful. And I do feel blessed. And this isn't about, you know, praising some God, or it's just about, you know, this, I just acknowledge that the journey I'm on and the life that I've been given is of value. And I try to, you know, figure out what my role is with it, what my purpose is. And, you know, for a lot of years, I have a purpose. I have a purpose. I do. And, you know, how you answer that, you know, what is your purpose? It may change over time, and it's not always easy, but it's also not that hard. You know, I have been so proud of just the dad that I have been over the years. Did I do it perfectly? Oh, heck no, I assure you. But I've been a really good dad. I really have. And you know, that's one purpose. I've raised five wonderful, beautiful children. I am very proud of who I am as a husband. I'm proud of who I am as a friend to a number of people. And very proud that they chose to, you know, be my friend. And there are, you know, I could go on with all this, and it's not important. I'm just trying to give some examples. But, you know, find a purpose. And this whole spiritual side, I think, again, can be so fundamental in terms of grounding ourselves as we build this personal and professional foundation. You know, we need to be strong in character. We need to be strong in knowing who we are, what we have to offer, what we want to offer. I'm trying to say, again, this is how you bring out the best in who you can be. And that will serve you, your support systems, your clients, everybody that you work with and for, better than anything else I can think of. You know, marketing, you know, very important. But, you know, if this foundation isn't there, the marketing efforts aren't going to work out for the long term anyway. You're going to have your challenges and struggles. So I guess I'm going to leave it at that. I hope you have found something of interest, something of value with this Silkweed. And I really would love if any of you have thoughts and want to share stories or talk about any of this, please don't hesitate to reach out. I'm a risk manager for ALPS, but that doesn't mean I'm their risk manager. ALPS hires me to be your risk manager. And I'm a support system and someone that's here just to enter into relationship. So if you ever care to chat, just give me a call, but or send an email. We set something up. It's MBASS, MBASS at ALPS Insurance, one word, ALPSinsurance.com. That's it, folks. Have a blessed day and stay strong in the practice. Bye-bye.